All right, we'll start on Revelation chapter 4. You've got a page there. Remember page number, I think it's number 26, which has your chart of all the different churches. We didn't get time to go over them last week. Do you have that? It should look like this. Do you have...
Oh, that's
Charlie. You're only on
22, yeah.
Okay, page 22. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Romeo, I'll be right there. Let's see. Okay, so that is a good review to be able to look at the different churches. Each church, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia. How did Christ describe them? What does he notice? What does he praise about them? What does he rebuke? Here, yeah, you can go ahead and take one of those if you want. This is, let's see, you took the quiz last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, last time, yeah. So, go ahead and take one of those. Let's see, 7. All right. So, that's just, we didn't really get to go over it. That's just a summary of the 7 churches, because there's a lot to cover in those 7 churches, but hopefully that will help you. All right, now we're starting in chapter 4 of Revelation. And we've talked about churches. Now we're going to move into the next stage, which is a rapture. And I call this chapter Welcome to Heaven, which is a good thing. Let's see. All right. I can't wait for the welcome to heaven. Amen. It'll be all right with me. Okay, Revelation 4:11. Let's look at that verse and let's pick up in chapter 4. Ultimately, Revelation chapter 4 in verse 11. Andrew, would you read that verse, please?
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
All right. So in heaven, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to cry out and top of their lungs and say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory and all honor and all power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What a great thing. Now, as we come to chapter 4, what we're dealing with here in this supernatural book are clear revelations about several things. A, the revelation about how Jesus is now. Jesus is not still on a cross. That's why when you see a crucifix, what should you notice about the crucifix? It should be
empty.
Empty, okay? Because that's not where he is. Somebody can draw a picture and say what it looked like, but you shouldn't have a cross hanging in your church somewhere with somebody on it. He's not there. He is in heaven, and he's about to come back to earth. The next thing that is revealed in the Bible is about churches. Right? And you should have noticed that we talked about historical churches that were rebuked. There were typical representations of 7 types of churches that can be found throughout New Testament history. There are actual periods of time in history that the churches, the 7 churches represent, like the Ephesus time frame. What time frame are we in now? What church are we in now? I know we're in the Bible Baptist Church of Ballin College, but as far as time frame, when you looked at the groups of churches, the first 100 years was called the Ephesus church period. What are we in now? The Laodicean church time. I wish we were in the Philadelphian that protected and loved the Word of God. But we're in the Laodicean where it's all about my rights. It's all about me, people's rights. So, doctrinally, John is writing to literal churches that are in existence during the Great Tribulation. So, see, when the Lord finishes revealing things about the church, he then in chapter 4 turns to the rapture and to the tribulation that follows the age of Christian churches. So one thing I want you to understand is on a timeline, if you have the cross and the empty tomb, and that empty tomb there, you have a period of time that we call Right? The age of grace. We call it the church period of time. And this church period of time has seven kinds of churches in it. Alright? But just as the church had a start, the church time will have an end. And what's the end of the church age? What's it? What is the event that marks the end of New Testament Christianity on this world?
The rapture.
The rapture. When all of the church are taken up to heaven. Okay? And that's called the rapture. So we're going to talk about the rapture and then the tribulation. So let's start in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened where? And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Come up here. Come up. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So I'm going to show you the future. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was in heaven. Come on in. You guys are late. I got two places there for you, Sarah. Right there. Those are your lessons there. I hope you brought your books and your lesson outlines. Where's your lesson outline? Are they in there? Okay, good. So, and immediately I was in the Spirit, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Who went up? Who just got taken up to heaven? John. Was he physically in heaven? No, he was. He says, I was in the Spirit. So, where was he physically?
Patmos.
He was in Patmos. But he... there's a part of him that separated, whether in the body or out of the body. Paul said, I was not sure, all right? But he had an out-of-body experience, and he was caught up to heaven. And he saw God, and he actually saw Jesus on the throne. Now, so A, what we're looking at first off is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. The word rapture means this. You ready? Watch. Fill in your blanks here. To catch away. Or to snatch, or to grab something and take it away. Right? I'm giving you all kinds of words, but to catch away, or to snatch, S-N-A-T-C-H, or grab or take something away. So, let me give you an example of a rapture. Let's see, do you have any money? You don't have any money? Who's got some money? Come on, give me some money. I'll put the money out there on the table. I want some serious money. Okay, all right. Let me tell you what a rapture is. A rapture is this! What did I just do?
Rapture.
All right, I raptured it. Actually, I stole it. But one minute it's there, and the next minute it's gone. That's a rapture. It is to snatch, to grab, to take something away. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those of us who are believers will be, whew, we'll be gone. Jesus will take us away. Isn't that wonderful? Like a thief in the night. Amen? All right. So, that's the rapture. So, you fill in what you write down for your answer? For rapture? Ready?
It's to snatch away.
Catch away.
Catch, snatch, grab, take away. Like a thief. All right. If you want to add those words. Just so that you get the idea. Rapture. So, when we're talking about the rapture, we're talking about a door opening. Did you know the door opens twice? So, if we were to really be very particular, there's a door. How do you want to draw a door like that? I mean, there's a door, maybe with a doorknob or whatever, and it opens. And then a voice sounds. Now we need to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to see a comparison scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. That's what death is for the Christian. Even so also, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, get in the way, of them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a
shout.
There's a voice, a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. What's a trump? That's the sound that a trumpet makes, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. All right, my mom would always say, Craig, you're yelling, y'all, the noise you're making could wake the dead. Well, I know somebody who will wake the dead, amen? And that's the voice of the Lord Jesus. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be. What's the next two words? Three words.
Caught up together.
Caught up together. That's the word rapture. Right? Rapture is a Latin word, and it just is the same words for caught up. And we shall be caught up together with them, the souls of the dead, the bodies going up, going to be put back together. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I think those are very comforting words, don't you? Now, there is the sound of a trumpet, as in a trump. Revelation 1:10 says, go to Revelation 1:10. Let's look at there too. Revelation 1:10. These are all the ways that God had John describe things. I was in the Spirit. Here he is again, in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, a loud voice, as of a... Okay. Alright, so there are going to be two soundings. There's the sound of a trumpet here at the rapture, and then there's the sound of a trumpet at the end of the tribulation, which I don't have space on the board yet. I'll do that. I'll redraw it here in a minute. And then you have these words, three words, one of the most amazing, most looked forward to words in a Christian's life right now. Come up hither. Come up here. All right. Let's see. We got it here in Revelation 4:1. We got these words, come up hither. Let's look at chapter 11 and verse 2. Francis, would you find me Revelation 11 and read verse 2?
But the court which is in the temple is of the measure it, for it is given into the Gentile and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months.
Right. Now, I want you to run down and find verse 11 now.
And after 3 days and half the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them.
Keep going.
And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, come up heaven. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them.
Wow. So here's somebody. Later on it says, I had you starting in verse 2, but it should have started. Verse 3 says, I will give power unto my two witnesses. And these two witnesses, they preach for 1,203 score days, and then they're killed. But then in verse 11, after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God enters back into them. They stand upon their feet. And then there are those three words again, come up hither. So you've got another rapture there, but it's not at the same time. All right, like I say, there's the cross and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. We have We have a period of time called the church age. Okay. And that church age lasts basically 2,000 years. I don't know. I wish it was soon. But we have this thing called the rapture. Let's just put it over here like this. And who are the people that go up in the rapture? What kind of people go up?
Believers.
Okay. So that's why we call it the church, all right? The true church. Is everybody that sits in a building, is everybody in that building born again because they go to a building? No. Just because somebody goes to church doesn't mean they are the church. The church is the people. So people go up. The buildings stay. So that's called the rapture. And look at Proverbs 25 and verse 7. Sarah, Proverbs 25, 7. If you will start to round, look at verse 6.
In verse 6?
6 and 7.
Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen.
Okay, so come up hither is a phrase like at a dinner, where the prince or the person who's hosting the dinner, he sees all the people and he sees somebody and he says, come up near me. Come sit up near me. It's asking somebody to change place. Right? Come up here. Come up here. Come sit by me. Come be near me. And that's what Jesus calls. One day he will call us to go up to be with him. Because there's a big dinner up in heaven that we're going to be able to participate. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. So that word come up hither, those words are associated with a change of address. A rapture. It is a calling away of the Christian. Number 6. And how long did it take for John to get to heaven? Revelation chapter 4. What does it say in verse 1? I say verse 2. Revelation 4, 2. Ryu. How long did it take? Read that. Read 4, 2.
Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
So, what does the word immediately mean?
Right now.
So, how long did it take for him to go from earth to heaven? Immediately. Yes, all right. How long does it take an astronaut to get to the moon? Do you know how long it took them to get to the moon? It took 3 days to get there. And that's with all the rockets pushing as fast as they could go. It still took them 3 days, just to the moon. They've got these satellites, these Voyagers, Viking 1 and 2 landing on Mars. It takes years to get to some of the planets. Well, I get to go to heaven in the twinkling of an eye. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 52. Youngin. 1 Corinthians 15, 52.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
All right, so tell me, what's the twinkling of an eye?
In no time.
It is kind of like in no time, but is that the blink of an eye?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know a blink of an eye takes a long time? All right, but it's kind of fast. But the twinkling of an eye is when that eye, when there's just the tiniest bit of light and the eye twitches, it's 1/15th of a second. Somebody actually measured it. Somebody said a blink is like a quarter of a second. Blink, you know, you could blink 4 times maybe in a second or 5 times or whatever. But the twinkle is just when your eye just moves the smallest amount. So if you had sunlight moving on, and you'd see that eye twitch, in the twinkling of an eye, you are gone, and you're in the presence of Jesus. Is that cool or what? It's not like, here we go, bye. It doesn't take forever. You're gone, man. Your clothes drop. Not even Star Trek. You remember how long it took them to energize Scotty? And then they would disintegrate and they would appear somewhere. It took them forever compared to a rapture. When we disappear, it will be instant. Let's look at some primary scriptures. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. We just read it. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, because you've got to know this. Romeo, look at, read for us 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18 again.
But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest your sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus.
Keep going all the way down to 18.
18, is it? For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, and we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
All right, so 1 Thessalonians, your fill in there is the rapture is referred to as being caught up. That's your fill in. We need to go to Philippians. Turn to the left a little bit in your Bible. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, Andrew, please.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
All right. This is a catching away. Caught up. Up. It is also a change. Changing. Of our bodies. That's your fill in. Okay. What was changed when you got saved, Sarah? What was changed? Did your hair get changed when you got saved? Did your toenails? Did your, I don't know, did your nose, shape of your nose changed when you got saved? Mm-hmm. What changed? Mm-hmm. Okay. Your spirit was regenerated. Your soul was washed and cleaned, and you had no more guilt. But your outside wasn't changed. But at the rapture, your outside gets changed. Okay? Your body, that's the rapture. That doesn't happen any other way. If somebody in this room died and I buried you, that's not a rapture. That's going down. There is a change of the outside that finally catches up with what changed on the inside. So we're talking about a change where our vile bodies are changed to be like his body. Number C, John 14. John 14, 1, 2, and 3, Edward.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. in my father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Wow. So Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. He says that back here. So he ascends up to heaven, and he went up there to prepare a place for each one of us in his Father's house in heaven. And he says, one of these days, I will come again and get you, and I will receive you, that's your fill-in, to me, to myself. When a wedding is going on, you have the man up at the front. And there's all kinds of reasons why we do things the way we do in a wedding. Why does the guy stand up at the front and the bride comes from the back and she's hidden and nobody sees her until da 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 da. Then she comes in and she comes up to the groom. When she comes to the groom then goes and takes her and brings her up for the altar and everything. They go through the ceremony. But the point is, the bride is brought to the groom. All right? Now, Jesus here says, I will come and I will receive you. I will take you to me so that we can go live in my Father's house. The only reason why Jesus comes back, and he only comes back partially, he comes back to just get us on our way up. He brings us all the way up to his Father's house. So there in C, Christ is receiving the church to himself. Number D, Acts 1:11, Francis.
Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
All right. Now, who all watched Jesus go up to heaven? Everybody in the world? Mm-hmm. All right. Only the believers saw him go up. The angel says to the disciples who are standing there after Jesus went up, he says, and ye shall see him return. But it's as if to say, only ye shall see him return for you. This is not the second coming. This is only the rapture. This is not for the whole world. The Bible says there will come a time where every eye will see him and everyone will weep because they'll know that they're in trouble. There's one other thing here. So number D, your fill-in is ye shall see him. Not everybody, only ye believers. Titus 2:13. Titus, to the right. Back to Sarah.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
All right, looking for that blessed hope. If you have a blessed hope, can you imagine if you had cancer? Can you imagine if a part of your body is just being taken over by these cancer cells and you're dying, and then somebody says, there's a doctor who can remove that cancer with some sort of treatment, and it will just fall off. All of a sudden you go, I'm not going to die. I have hope. I go to this doctor and he'll make me better. I'll be able to live. You'd have hope. Well, there is a blessed hope for a Christian. That's where no matter what you go through, one of these days, our vile bodies are going to be caught up to be with Jesus, so shall we ever be with Him. Not only we get to see Him there, but it's a blessed hope. It's something we look forward to. This is not the end. Our life is not the end. So, the rapture is something that's wonderful. The second coming of Christ, when He comes back at the end of the tribulation, when He returns, you know what He does when He comes back? He brings Armageddon. It's a terrifying time. This is the second coming of Christ. And the second coming is not like His first coming. What was His first coming like?
Unannounced, meek and lowly. All the saints.
Okay, He was meek and lowly. He came as a baby. He was carried. He was taught to be a good little boy, even though He was the perfect boy. He grew up. He helped people, and they rejected Him. They mocked Him. They spit upon Him. They crucified Him. And He let them. He won't let them here. At the second coming, He will be a terror. But this is a wonderful time. So these aren't the same. One person said this. Things that are different are not the same. Now that sounds so simple. But if you learn that, is that what he said? That's who said it. Okay. But things that are different are not the same. So I believe that when I come to the Bible and I start seeing some characteristics that are different than other characters, I can go, they're not the same. Some people adamantly believe that these things actually are at the second coming. And it's not possible. It doesn't match. This is a terror. This is Armageddon. How many are looking forward to Armageddon? I'm not sure how to spell that. Two N's? Armageddon. That's where 2 billion people are going to die, man. I mean, it's incredible. 3 billion people. Unbelievable. So, anyway. All right. Number 7. Now, the rapture's placement dispensationally. All right. What occurs before the rapture? Well, the first thing that you'll notice is that there's a period of time here called the falling away. I'm going to call it several things, just so you understand. The cooling off. What's another word for falling away? Now, all of this is of Christianity. What does Revelation chapter 3, how does it describe the church at Laodicea? What kind of a church was it?
Lukewarm.
Apathetic. Okay, they're saved, but they're not like they used to be. They're not excited, they're not passionate, they're not on fire. They're falling away. They're dropping out, let's call it that. It's terrible. So what occurs before the rapture? Not the great. I mean, I think Christianity should get bigger and more powerful and more excited and more passionate, and we ought to be building more churches. We ought to be starting more churches. We ought to be winning more souls. But what's happening really? Christianity is dying. And it's not the fault of the Bible, is not the fault of God, it's not the fault of the Holy Spirit, it's the fault of Christians. Christians are nitpickers. They find fault so they don't have to be responsible. You know, the Bible says, obey your pastor. But because somebody is under a pastor they don't like, they go, I'm not going to listen to my pastor. And they quit going to church. And yet the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together with a church. Be with the pastor, even the guy you don't like, because he's a pastor and he's looking out for your soul. But people, right now, there are more Christians who are not going to church, are you listening, than those who are. That's a weird thing. More people who claim to be a Christian are sitting at home on Sunday and not going to church, not going soul winning, not being faithful to obeying God, because they're falling away. They are falling away. It's really, really bothersome. So before the rapture, there is a falling away. Secondly, be what happens right after the rapture. the arrival of the Antichrist. Right? Guess who shows up? I don't have enough space. I wanted to keep this graphic because I want to create it in the book here. Let me take a picture of it myself here. Because I want to use especially this part here. All right. So, what happens after the rapture, immediately after the rapture, is the Antichrist. Okay? So, this next guy that shows up is the arrival. How am I going to do this? Let's just do it this way. The Antichrist comes. One thing I've read and I noticed in my Bible is before the arrival of the real thing, there's always the arrival of the counterfeit. Alright? The world always loves a counterfeit. They rejected Jesus, so they're going to accept the Antichrist. And when he comes, he will be worshipped, honored, obeyed like he was God. But Jesus is coming again, and before he comes, Satan gives a fraud, a counterfeit. So the arrival of the Antichrist is your fill-in on B. Number 8. Some other things to note about this event called the rapture. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10 says John was in the Spirit. So this is a spiritual event for John. John is here. He's not literally picked up and physically moved yet. So he's actually seeing a vision, I might say, but in the Spirit. However you want to understand that. I don't understand it, but I believe it. But 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Who we got next? Is that you, Ryu? 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Let's read this again.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Okay, so here's somebody, they're in the grave. Okay, they've been there for 1 year, 100 years, 1,000 years, doesn't matter. This is the body of a believer. Where's the soul of a believer? Let's call this guy Sean. Where is Sean's soul since the moment he died?
In heaven.
All right. The soul went to heaven. The body went to the grave. Okay. What if Sean wasn't a Christian? What if he wasn't saved? Where did his soul go? Went to hell. All right. So, well, we got Sean. Sean's saved, okay? So his body is in the grave. Where is his soul? In heaven. So, the rapture is about to take place. What's the first thing that happens before the rapture?
The resurrection.
All right. There is something wonderful where Sean takes off first. They get to go up first. There's an explosion out of that grave. And that body, that physical body, is pulled out of the grave and brought to heaven. And that soul goes up and is changed on the way up. You know, I noticed when Batman, in the old Batmans, the new Batman doesn't really show it very well, but in the old Batmans you had Bruce Wayne and boy wonder, what was Robin's name?
Oh, Dick.
Yeah, but nobody knows his last name. But anyway, so you got Robin, right? They're sitting there, and they would go to this statue, and they'd lift it up, and they'd turn a dial, and then the door would, or the bookcase would open, and then they would go onto a sliding pole, and then they would go down. But on their way down, they would end up in their underwear. Ready to go as Batman and Robin, you know, but they would go down and they'd be changed. Nobody knew how they would do that. Okay. Superman would go into a phone booth, da 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 da. We get changed on our way up. Isn't that kind of cute? All right. What are you going to say, Andrew?
Yeah. The body changes as well as
go.
That is a decayed body. It has to change. Yes, it gets put back together. I mean,
from previously the way we are on that before, will they change?
It will be made perfect. Whatever you are like now, any imperfection will be fixed. So say if you were crippled, or say if you lost an arm, or what if you couldn't see everything. That's why when Jesus was here, he healed the blind, he raised the crippled, and he did all that to show, I will make you perfect one day when you go to heaven. So that is a changing. All right. So they go up first. Then we, which are alive and remain, sitting on the earth, watching the resurrection of the dead, they're changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're changed in the twinkling of an eye. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Youngin, chapter 12, verses 1 to 4.
It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to business and relations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up in the third heaven.
Did you see the word caught up? Ooh, go ahead.
Three
and four.
And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, how that he was caught up into paradise, and part unspeakable work, which it is now not lawful for a man to utter.
All right. Now, one of the things I want you to notice, he was caught up to the third heaven. Where's the first heaven? Do you know where it is, Sarah? Nope. The first heaven is the air. The birds fly. So heaven is an empty space. That's what heaven means. Heaven means things above you. There is one heaven that has air in it. The birds fly in it. Where's the second heaven? That's outer space. That's got planets in it and stars and galaxies. Where's the third heaven? That's where heaven is. That's where Jesus is. That's where God is. That is the third heaven. So Paul says, I knew somebody, he was talking about himself, who was caught up to the third heaven. Didn't go to a planet. Went to the third heaven. All right, 1 Timothy 6:14. 1 Timothy 6:14. Romeo, 1 Timothy 6:14.
Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you.
I'm looking at 1 Timothy 6:14. I'm not sure where you're. 6:14.
That you keep his commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing.
Okay, appears. So the key word is until the appearance of Jesus Christ. But there are two times he appears in the future. One is at the rapture, one is at the second coming. Should we worry about his second coming, or should I be ready for his sneak appearance? I'm supposed to keep myself spotless, blameless, out of trouble, until the appearing, till I get to see Jesus Christ. Now this is the fourth of, here's your fill-in, seven raptures in the Scriptures. This is the fourth of seven raptures in the Scripture. All right, Genesis chapter 5. Well, let's go to Hebrews. Since we're here, let's go fast. Hebrews 11:5. Hebrews 11 is quoting from Genesis chapter 5. We'll look at the intro, if you'll read. Hebrews 11, verse 5.
What's the answer for this question? Fourth?
This is the fourth of seven. Your answer is seven. There are seven raptures in Scripture.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Okay, so translate. What a great word, translation. All right, translation means change. So if I take a word, Hamida, what is that?
Hamnida.
Hamnida, that's what it is. I couldn't remember. Hamnida. What is that word?
There.
Huh? There. All right, how do you say thank you?
Kamsam.
Kamsamnida.
Kamsam.
Hamnida. There we are. All right. So, I'm going to translate kamsahamnida. Kamsahamnida. To thank you. I prefer thank you. All right. That's a change, isn't it? All right. I'm going to change me into a new me in heaven. That's the rapture. That's the resurrection. And so Enoch was translated so that he would not see, experience what?
Death.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to not have to die? Wouldn't it be wonderful? I always thought, remember on, I don't know if you ever watched Star Trek, but there's a guy on The Next Generation, he was the first officer, his name was, number one, what's his name? Riker, William Riker. William Riker said several times, he says, I don't plan on dying. I plan to live forever. He kept talking like that. And I always wondered, I wonder if he's a Christian. I don't know, because that's my wish. I plan to just go from here to there without dying. Enoch, it says he was translated. Put it in your mind. He was raptured. He was changed. That he should not see death. And he was not found. People went looking for him because they expected his body to be there. But they couldn't find it because God took him. God had translated him. For before his translation, before he was raptured, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So the first resurrection the first rapture in the Bible is Enoch. The second one is Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, Edward. In verse 11. This is Elijah talking to Elisha. So 2 Kings 2:11. That's you, Edward.
And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared the chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a wild wind into heaven.
All right. So, what have we got with his rapture? We've got two guys standing. They're walking along. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes this chariot of fire swinging down and picking up one of them. And there is a... sucking him up and taking him into the chariot, and then the chariot takes off like a jet. That would look cool. That would be awesome. That's a rapture. Elijah, here's Elisha. He's talking to Elijah. Elijah talking to Elisha, and all of a sudden, he's gone. It must have been awesome. It must have been amazing to have seen. But that's the rapture of Elijah. Let's look at Matthew 27, verse 50 to 53. Francis.
Jesus, who, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost.
Right, when did he do that?
The cross.
At the cross. So we're talking about his death here, verse 51.
And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
Resurrection.
And came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many.
54.
Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God."
Wow. Okay. So we're still at the cross, but a snippet is added that says that there's a resurrection that follows the cross. The cross wasn't the end, was it? So Jesus gets out of the grave, and there were people who walked around who were resurrected as well, and they were walking around. But how long are they walking around until Jesus' resurrection? Ascension. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, Francis.
And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel.
And said, "Why stand ye gazing up to heaven?" Okay, so Jesus ascends to heaven. That is a rapture, just like Enoch, just like Elijah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Sarah, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 and 17.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Wow, now there's a word in there, you might not have noticed it, but here, church history's 2,000 years long. Okay, where is Paul? When he's writing 1 Thessalonians, where do I put him? Here, here, where is Paul in this stretch of time? He's at the beginning. He says there's coming a time when the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, and then we, which are alive, not ye, not you guys out in the future, but we all, which have been born again, which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, shall be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So all of the Christians who've been saved since the cross and up to the rapture, we go up. And that's who is involved with the rapture. So it's the Christian church has the rapture, which is what we're talking about in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 11, verse 12. Again, we read these, but I kind of shown you where they fit. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 12. There's a couple more raptures after our rapture. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 12.
And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, "Come up hither," and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them,
Okay, so there are going to be two witnesses, two preachers, in the middle, right in the middle of the tribulation. So this is going to be from here until there is 7 years. The tribulation. And this tribulation, there are going to be two guys, and they're going to have their heads cut off. Okay? Alright, so... But in the middle of the tribulation, in the middle of 3 days, 3.5 days, those heads are going to pop back on. I don't know how it's going to happen. And then they're going to go up because of the words, come up hither, are spoken to them too. They get to go up. And that's in the middle of this 7 year tribulation. So there's a rapture here. There's a rapture when Jesus goes up. That's his, what we call the ascension of Jesus. It's where he ascends. He himself goes up. We go up. The two witnesses, two preachers, Moses and Elijah, in the middle of the tribulation, they go up. And there's another one now. We need Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Youngin?
And I looked and lo, a lamb stood on the front side, awaiting 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads.
Alright. In the last half of the tribulation, 144,000 Jews get saved and they start, they're amazing, start preaching. But in the right at the end of the tribulation, they go up. Because they're going to miss this battle of Armageddon. They get taken out. But there's one more rapture. And it's not quite a fair one, but it's a big one. Revelation 14, verse 17. Romeo, if you'll read verses 17 to 20. Revelation 14, 17 to 20. Because 144,000, if you have that, 144,000 stand on Mount Zion, and Mount Zion is in heaven. They're not standing on Mount Zion next to Jerusalem. This Mount Zion is in heaven. We are come unto the heavenly Mount Zion. All right, so now we're doing Revelation, Romeo, verses chapter 14, verses 17 to 20.
Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle.
What's a sickle? You ever seen a pole that had a piece of metal that was bent, and you would use it and you would swing it and you would cut down wheat or barley or rye or any type of crop, and it was for cutting? Well, he's putting this down into the earth and reaping, he's harvesting something. Okay, that's what he's using it for. Go ahead. Okay.
Then another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for our grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the wine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and the blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridles for 1,600 furlongs.
Okay, that's a lot of miles. Now these are people, and this, we don't have a lot of time, but there are the unsaved, the damned. Did you know everybody in the world will be caught up and made to be brought to a place, one place, everybody, whether they're in Africa, whether they're in Indonesia, whether they're in Australia, if they're in the South Pole, they're all going to disappear and then reappear in a place called Armageddon. And when they appear in Armageddon, it will be to face Jesus as conquering king. and he will wipe out, he will trample on all billion of them, 2 billion of them, okay? So there's one final brief rapture. They don't get to go to heaven. They're just all transferred, translated to Armageddon, where there is a huge battle where Jesus comes back. All right. Okay, we will go through this and go through this a load of times, but you're all right, good. Now, there are three types of rapture in the scripture. Let me give you three of them real quick. The first one is Enoch. He's the best one, describes how a rapture works. Genesis 19 says Lot. Francis, get up here for a second. That's your fill in there. Their second one is Lot. Come up here. All right. Now, Francis, you're in danger. Francis, this whole part of the ceiling is going to crash down on you. All right. When the two angels came to Lot and his family, what did they do with Lot when the fire of God was about to burn where Lot was living, was in a place called Sodom? What did the angels do to Lot? It'd be like if you're standing here and this ceiling is about to fall. Come on! Get out of there! Alright. The angels dragged Lot and his family out of Sodom before the fire fell. Thank you. You okay? You alright? Before the judgment fell. That's the rapture. The rapture is just before God's wrath begins to fall. So he pulls Christians out from the judgment, and then he brings his judgment. So Lot is an example, and the last one of your three, number 10, you've got Enoch, Lot, and the last one's Noah. What did God say to Noah? Build an ark! Why? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? They had never seen rain, but it was the judgment of God. And God could not begin to rain until the ark was finished, and until Lot and his family were on board. And then God said, because I've protected him, now I can bring my judgment. And where was Lot when all the water was on the earth? He was above it, wasn't he? He was in the ark above the judgment of God. What'd you say? I say Lot. Noah. Stop it. Don't be making fun of me. I hate it when I'm wrong and somebody reminds me. Okay, so where was Noah? Yeah, Lot was dead. Lot wasn't even around. Okay, so number 11. The rapture involves the following components, the following ingredients. A, listening for a shout. What are we listening for? A shout. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I know he's around, but I'm not looking for him. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to break through the clouds, and it'll be visible only to believers. See, the thing that will be going on before the rapture is there will be urgent soul winning felt by Christians. Now, a lot of Christians may not want to do it, but those of us who love his appearing will be soul winners. And number D, there'll be personal holiness impressed upon Christians. We will want to be right with God in preparation for him. We don't have time. We've got to stop right there, take a break. But any questions? I mean, there should be, and usually will be, lots of questions. But Revelation chapter 4 is pretty exciting, isn't it? All right. So today is the 28th of February.
Two verses done.
Hmm?
Yeah, two verses done.
They were good verses. Yes, sir.
There are two men there. Moses and Elijah.
Yes, sir. They get to come back. When John the Baptist was born, the angel told his dad and his mom that he was going to have the spirit of Elijah, which I don't understand how it was going to happen, but he was going to be just like Elijah, because before Jesus comes back as Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Elijah has to come. Well, John the Baptist came here, and he was a lot like Elijah, but he wasn't Elijah. Elijah has to be one of them. And the second person is described as somebody who can turn water into blood. There's only one person who did that in the Bible. Who was that?
Moses.
All right? One of them stops it from raining, and one of them turns water into blood. So that's Elijah, and that's Moses. So they get to come back. They are resurrected and living again during the tribulation. They're the only believers. All right. You want to take a picture? Go ahead. All right. So let's You can take a break. Get you a quick cuppa, go to the bathroom, and then we will meet back here.